Hello, I am AA23, the official droid of Ashla Analysis.
Keep your concentration here and now where it belongs.
This is it, everybody quiet.
Follow me, boys!
Got the dark side and the light side. One is selfless, one is selfish. You want to keep them in balance.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force.
That's not how the Force works.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Allow me to introduce our instructors in the Force, Master Eric and Master Rachel.
Hello, Universe, and welcome back to Ashla Analysis. This month, we're talking about prophecies and premonitions with my host, Eric, and of course, Rachel.
Yes, Rachel, thanks so much. And I actually just got done showing a friend the Mortis episodes from Season 3 of Clone Wars. So I'm very excited to talk about, you know, the different prophecies and everything relating to the Force. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
These are some of the things that you and I talk about a lot, Eric. We reference them or kind of have this, you know, knowledge of some of this stuff that's been said before. And so when new things come out, whether they're movies or comics or whatever, we're always excited when they kind of slowly nod to some of these prophecies. So I think it would be cool to start off with by saying that a prophecy, as we're referring to it, is actually a prediction. So when we're talking about these, we're talking about that someone actually predicted some of these events or things that are going to happen. And when we say premonition, we're talking about more of that like overarching strong feeling that something is about to happen, whether it's good or bad, but just kind of that almost like you know there's going to be something going on.
Yeah, and Rachel, we obviously see both of these featured in the films. I mean, Anakin goes and talks to Yoda about some visions and premonitions of things that could happen, you know, but we also have the main prophecy of the Chosen One that obviously plays a major role in the prequels.
Yeah, and that one, the prophecy of the Chosen One, is the one that most of you guys are going to be familiar with. And that's the one where, of course, everyone thinks that we're talking about Anakin. Now, the actual prophecy, there isn't a lot to it, which is why when people reference it, they always say it's open to interpretation. But what the prophecy actually said was that a Jedi will come to destroy the Sith and bring balance to the Force.
You are the Chosen One! It was said that you would destroy the Sith, not join them! Bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness!
Now, the references, though, start from 1,200 years before the Battle of Yavin. So there's been a lot of time in this where people have been able to kind of adjust what they think it means. And it's even been suggested that there were inklings of this earlier. When we get to about 32 years before Yavin, when Qui-Gon said he believed he had found him in the young Anakin. So that's kind of when we stop, you know, hearing about that, because everybody believes that this is, of course, now the Chosen One.
What's interesting, Rachel, not to interrupt you, but what I noticed while watching these Mortis episodes just recently is that there is a point in time where Anakin himself says that the prophecy of the Chosen One is a myth, which I thought was very interesting.
Yes, okay, so, and that's why I say it's always open to interpretation. There has been times where we've been watching stuff, and I've even said to Eric, like, I think that the prophecy can go on and on in different stories, that there's not just one person, and you know, everyone is afraid that Obi-Wan says, you know, you were the Chosen One. You were supposed to, you know, destroy the Sith and not join them. But I think Anakin was still bringing balance to the Force because it had been swung in such, you know, so much to the light side. And for years and years and years, there was not even really a lot of mention of Sith going, you know, anything going on. And so now he's bringing the balance back towards the middle where there's kind of both that dark and light. And the 200 years before Yavin Jedi actually were the first ones that noticed a change in the shape of the Force. And what I mean by that is when you're looking through the Force or trying to feel things with the Force, it comes in colors and basic shapes. And so they had this growing sense of dark side power that was imminent and coming. And so they kind of knew that there was going to be more of that balance. But of course, looking at it from a Jedi perspective, you don't think of it as needing to have both. You always want it to be the good.
What I also think is interesting about this prophecy is that there's obviously, it's widely known among the Jedi that there is this prophecy, right? I mean, when Qui-Gon presents the idea that he believes he found the Chosen One, he brings it up at the Council.
The cells have the highest concentration of midichlorians I have seen in a life form. It is possible he was conceived by the midichlorians.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So they all know what this prophecy is, right? And then when they actually get to meet Anakin, they're like, no, no, I don't think it's, I don't think it's this guy. He's too old. You know, he's afraid of losing his mother and blah, blah, blah. All the way up until the point where even Yoda, like, didn't really even get to the point where he felt like Anakin was necessarily chosen one. And then in episode 3, we have Mace Windu that says, Obi-Wan says,
with all due respect, Master, is he not the chosen one? Is he not to destroy the Sith and bring balance to the Force?
So the prophecy says.
A prophecy that Miss Reg could have been.
So even at this point, like, he doesn't even believe
right. That. Exactly. And there's even been times where I've heard people saying that, you know, maybe Luke was the chosen one. But I think regardless of what you believe, the point is that this is one of the only prophecies that was handed down, like, mouth to mouth, that was the main one that all Jedi were aware of, and that you can see in some of this timeline that had been fulfilled by either one person or another. So,
and I want to say one thing before we go into the next prophecy. I totally 100% believe that Anakin is the chosen one. He is the one that is fulfilling this prophecy. But I also believe that it's Anakin fulfills his destiny as the chosen one because of Luke. Because of everything right. That Luke brings to the table in that whole final confrontation between Luke and Vader with the Emperor there. I think without Luke, nothing happens. So I think it's...
I agree.
It's because of Luke that Anakin fulfills the destiny, in my personal opinion, as the Chosen One.
Right. Well, okay, so there's another prophecy that I think is worth noting, and that's the Tedryn Holocron prophecy. So Bodo Bass had recited this prophecy that he had learned from his master. And the prophecy goes, a brother and sister walk the sky, but reckless brother falls into dark side's eye. Jedi sister carries hope for the future in her womb. Only she can save the sky walkers from certain doom. A Jedi killer wants to tame her. Now the dark side lord comes to claim her. She must battle, join against this thief, or the dynasty of all Jedi will come to grief. Yeah. So there's a lot of good stuff in that one.
I like the fact that this one, Rachel, has sort of like a saying to it. You know, I mean, as I'm looking at the show notes here, these are in quotes. So this is something that must have been either like published or was widely known as a saying.
Well, so they actually had it contained in the Holocron, and many Jedi would hear this recited in that kind of poetic way. And the interesting thing about it is it talks about a brother and sister that walk the sky, meaning that they travel amongst the stars and such. But how funny that in literal terms, when the praise is reversed, it says sky walkers, and right. That actually ends up being who right. It's talking about.
Right.
Now, as you guys may have noticed, this is kind of referencing some of the expanded universe versions of the stories. So we don't necessarily know that in the, you know, canon versions of episode 7 and on, whether this is going to be true. But it's kind of playing back to that old other universe that we used to know. And either way, it kind of still has that same thing where regardless of where you're trying to place this in the history, there's always a dark side lord that's trying to claim someone or take down some Jedi, right? And
yes.
There's always a battle, and there's always the idea of trying to rebuild the Jedi or save their legacy or not let the dynasty or even the teachings die, you know? So
And Rachel, you know, obviously we, all of our listeners know this. I align myself with the dark side. You align yourself with the light side. And this particular episode, we're going to be talking mostly about the light side stuff because they are the ones that have more prophecies and premonitions. But what I really like about this is that this is something that was contained in a holocron, which is used by both sides. So I think it's not like this, oh, you know, prophecies only are used by light side force users and holocrons. Well, no, I mean, right. It's everywhere. I mean, lights, there's no light without the dark. There's no dark without the light. So I think having all these different ways to communicate with other force users via, you know, let's say holocrons or, you know, word of mouth or ancient text or whatever yes. it may be. It's cool that these prophecies can be kind of communicated in all different ways.
Yeah, and the Tedrin holocron is one that kind of held a lot of teachings, but it also had more of like the holographic displays where people were quoting or reciting things from, you know, ancient text or other Jedi or stuff. So it was kind of a cool all-in-one where you got a lot of content out of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so speaking of a lot of content, there's actually a prophecy called the Prophecy of the Five. And it kind of blends into a second prophecy that we're going to talk about right after here. But there was this Jedi Master, Krinda Dre. And this is like 4,000 BBY, by the way. So this is pretty old. But this was predicting the next conflict with the dark side, okay? So that's what we do, right? The Jedi Covenant, the Kinda and her aide, whose name was Hazen, by the way, had spent decades building what dissolved the fulfillment of this prophecy. So they had built this covenant of Jedi and done all of this work to kind of bring things together and keep the teachings aligned, and then this prophecy ended up killing it. And Hazen, the aide, had been manipulating the Jedi all along to think that the five of this prophecy of five were in their group. And so they were always concerned about letting the teachings go or anything. But instead, there was a mix. So of dark, light Jedi, Sith, Republic people, all of these groups of people that then when came together ended up being the actual five. And so the prophecy goes like this anyway. And a time of tribulation to come, there will be five. One for the darkness, one for the light. Another from the darkness stands in the light, while one from the light stands in the darkness. The last one stands apart from all, and between them, all that has been built will fall. So, crazy to think that we've got, again, this mix where some people are, you know, acting like they're aligned with one side or the other, and they're, you know, deceiving to try to get either the Republic or the Sith or anything onto their side. And this is all conflict that was happening super long time ago. So this aide ended up distracting them and making them think that all of these, Jedi were going to be the ones that made the teachings fall and this covenant kind of not be able to hold things together in the galaxy anymore. And yet, all along, he was the one standing apart.
Yeah. It's really hard for some of these prophecies, or at least it's really hard for me to understand completely what these prophecies mean. I mean, from all of these ancient Jedi, ancient Sith, you have all of these potential, premonitions and prophecies. This one, the Prophecy of Five, okay, you say you have one in the light, one in the dark. One who's from the darkness, who stands in the light, and one who stands in the light, stands in the darkness. It's like, okay, well, it seems as though basically everything there cancels each other out, right? You have a light, you have mm-hmm. a dark. You have one from the light, you have one from the dark. Each stand in the opposite, light versus dark, whatever. And then the last one stands apart from all and between them. And then all that has been built will fall. Well, okay, there's a lot in there. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's kind of giving you this example that there's always going to be people trying to infiltrate either side, mm-hmm. right? They're posing as one or the other, but their intentions are, you know, not what they make them seem. And it's kind of turned into a teaching to let you know that you don't always, you know, take everything for face value. that you want to make sure, that you're actually looking at things at different levels and different perspectives, because otherwise you could be, you know, blindsided. So there's another one, which is kind of a unique name now that we have more movies coming out, but how funny that it ties into this. But this one's called The Rogue Moon Prophecy. And this one, again, is about that same time that we were talking about, close to 4,000 years BBY. But this one is made up of the original four Jedi counselors of that Jedi Covenant that we were referring to in the last prophecy. It was a Jedi Covenant First Watch Circle. So essentially, they were the original four and, you know, were there to kind of protect this covenant. They traveled to this rogue moon called Taurus, and they saw their deaths by some red armored Sith. And so they were all freaked out. So they also thought that this vision that they saw would be referring to that prophecy of the five, where everything around them would come crumbling down. So eventually these four started dying, and they realized, the last one, that the Marn Hierograph, which was the one that would kill them, so this is the guy that would kill them, wore the same armor as the armored Sith of the time. But he actually wasn't a Sith. He was just this black market trickster guy that had befriended a Padawan named Zane Karrick.
I love Zane.
And Eric, I know. I was going to say, I know you love Zane. So.
Yeah. What's interesting is that, you know, you learn about all these characters from all these different comic books and prophecies and everything that happened in the past. And like you said, Rachel, this is, what's the year, 3964 before the Battle of Yavin. You know, so this takes place a long time before the movies. But what I really like about Zane is that he was created by John Jackson Miller, who wrote a lot of the Knights of the Republic comic books and things like that. And they also made a Star Wars miniature of him. And he's very conflicted. You know, if you, like at the very beginning, if you roll an odd versus an even number, his stats are either like super good or they're super bad. You know, he's got this thing called karmic luck. So it's all up in the air. So Zane Karrick, definitely an interesting character to learn about if you're interested in that stuff.
And here, again, this is what kind of why these last two tie together. Zane is a Padawan learning the ways of the Jedi. And yet we have this kind of trickster, scoundrel type guy who is a friend of his, but now is coming through and ends up killing the original four counselors from the Covenant. So, crazy. Yeah, there's all of this, you know, crazy conflict. And these Jedi originally were so afraid that it was Sith that were going to come after them. And so now you can kind of see why all this ties into, you know, the other one. And they were, at this time, they were so concerned about being the Jedi that took down the First Watch or that took down the Covenant that they didn't even see any other perspective, and that's why they died.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, interesting stuff. Always good to keep an eye on what's going on around you in general.
Yeah.
So, you know how we were talking about premonitions being that feeling, and Eric, you were saying that, you know, Yoda kind of has that in some of the movies where he talks about he feels that something is coming. Well, Yoda has tons of different premonitions throughout the different Star Wars stories that are available to us now. So some of the notable ones are, of course, during the times around the Clone Wars, which are what you guys are most familiar with. He talks about, you know, there's danger in training Anakin and danger that he feels for the Jedi getting too involved in the war, and the warning he gives to Luke that he needs to complete his training, right? So Yoda kind of has this ability to understand the feeling of when something is dangerous or needs to be taken care of. And I like that he also knows, you know, if you look at the Clone Wars, there's some episodes where Yoda is chasing, we've talked about before, he's chasing the knowledge, right, of how to live in the Force and expand kind of his perception of that. And he knows when there's something good that really is worth his attention as well.
You know, Rachel, as you were talking about this, I was just thinking, because I like to do that sometimes. and what I was thinking about was, episode 5, right? Empire Strikes Back. So Luke has these visions of his friends on Cloud City, right? He's like, oh, a city in the clouds, you know. They're my friends. I've got to help them. You know, they're in pain. All that stuff. Luke feels that, right?
Right.
And Yoda says, it is the future you see, you know. And so Yoda at that time basically was trying to keep Luke on Dagobah to complete his training. Right. What would have happened? How would the story have changed? And would the prophecy of the Chosen One been fulfilled if Luke didn't go at that time? Because if you think about what happened because Luke went, he found out that Vader was his father. Because he went, he found out that Vader was his father. And that's essentially why Luke surrendered himself in Return of the Jedi.
Right, because he wanted to be able to save him.
Mm-hmm. So how does that all play out, right? Because this is Yoda saying, you know, you must wait until only a fully trained Jedi Knight will conquer Vader and things like that. And even Obi-Wan's there saying, patience, you know, like this is not, you're not ready for this. And yet Luke goes and he does this thing. But I don't think if Luke didn't go do that thing, if he didn't go to Bespin to save his friends, if things would have turned out the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I feel that these premonitions would come about either way. So I'm always under the assumption that if he didn't go then something would have happened that would have revealed, you know, his something fate else anyway. And, Force would have led him to that, knowing that he needed to be the one to save his father. But you're right, like it could have changed a whole lot, and who knows if he'd have gotten there in time then. And then maybe he would have turned to the dark side and had to have been the Chosen One.
Right.
And if we look at Expanded Universe, all that kind of stuff kind of happens, and the pendulum between light and dark swings back and forth forever and ever anyway. But
I just thought that was an interesting thing to kind of bring up, because obviously we know that Yoda is one of the wisest Jedi of all time.
Right.
So, just kind of interesting to think about what would happen or what does happen, you know, sometimes when people either listen or don't listen to Yoda.
Well, okay, so that brings up a good point, too. Mace was always the one that was kind of cautious, right? So, if you look at the movies as well, he always kind of felt that there was, like, a dark side or dark shape surrounding Chancellor Palpatine. Mm-hmm. So he was always thinking that there was something bad was going to happen if he kept gaining power, and he was against that, you know, the whole time.
Yeah. And Mace Windu, you know, he's like you said, Rachel, he says, you know, the dark side surrounds the Chancellor. And then there's somebody that says, like, I think Ki-Adi Mundi says, if he does not give up his emergency powers after the destruction of Grievous, then he should be removed from office. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, yeah. And so I think Mace Windu, while he's not necessarily considered to be the wisest of all the Jedi, Mace Windu is one of the most powerful Jedi during the time of the Clone Wars. So I think to a certain point, you have to say, okay, well, Mace, yeah, he's got some good feelings that we should you know, be aware of. And he got the nail right on the head with that dark side surrounding the Chancellor. Even before Anakin went up to him and said, I've just learned a terrible truth. I think Chancellor Palpatine is a Sith Lord. Because then Mace is like, a Sith Lord? You know, like he's like slightly confused.
Astonished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think it's all interesting because it was Mace in the first place that was saying that the dark side surrounded the Chancellor. So
yeah,
good stuff.
And you don't get to be head of a Jedi Council, which both Yoda and Mace have held those titles, without learning how to use the Force to kind of anticipate things or almost anticipate what's kind of going to happen in the future. You know, Yoda talks about that the future is clouded a lot because of all the stuff that's going on, but Mace is able to kind of hone into some of that premonition as well, which is why when he starts seeing it, he's like, oh my gosh, definitely we need to be paying attention to this person.
Right. All right, Rachel. Well, we just talked a lot about the premonitions and the prophecies of the light side. And this is going to be one of those episodes where we are primarily talking about the light side because the Sith and the dark side don't have too many prophecies or premonitions that they really focus on, right? For them, it's all about gaining the power. If you're the apprentice, you have to take out your master. You have to assume the role of the master at that point, and then it's just this endless cycle where you train somebody and then they kill you, and you train somebody and then they kill you. It's all about having the power, right?
So, this sounds exhausting. Can I just point that out?
Yes, absolutely. What I don't understand is, if you're a Sith Lord, right, why would you teach your apprentice everything you know? Because then they're just going to kill you. I mean, if it's all about having power.
Yeah, some of the Sith actually took your perspective and held back some of the information, and which in turn angered their Padawan. So.
And then, even like for Dooku's case, right, in the Clone Wars, he ends up getting Savage oppressed kind of briefly as an apprentice. And while he's training Savage, Savage asks him, like, how does one defend against this power? Because he's been electrocuted by Dooku for like an hour. And Dooku says, well, you know, even a wise master doesn't reveal all his secrets at once, or something like that. So I think it's interesting. Right. You know, you got to kind of pick and choose what you teach your apprentice very carefully. But anyway, the point of this podcast is the prophecy and premonitions of the Force. And so the Sith, Rachel, do have one prophecy. This is a dark side prophecy, and this is called the Prophecy of the Sithari. Okay? And basically, this Sithari translates to overlord. All right? And basically what this means is that there's a perfect being will come, and he will be known as the Sithari. And pure Sith, purebloods, believe this person to be a god. And that's a pretty high pedestal that you're putting someone up on here
right
now. So this prophecy says the Sithari will be free of limits. The Sithari will lead the Sith and destroy them. The Sithari will rise the Sith from death and make them stronger than before. So this is pretty interesting. This is something that the Sith hold very dear, near and dear to their heart. There is no written copy of this particular prophecy, Rachel. This is so sacred to them that they can't even bring themselves to write this down. So the only way that the Sith know of this prophecy is by word of mouth.
Okay. So basically, they're hoping that this happens so that they get destroyed and become stronger after death. Actually, that makes sense for people that are really hungry for power.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the way that it goes. So like you said, Rachel, you're going to be free of limits, right? That's the first, I don't know what the first line, stanza? Is it stanza, paragraph? I don't know how it all works. But anyway, it's the first line of this prophecy. The Sithari will be free of limits, okay? Nothing will limit this, quote-unquote, god that these Sith purebloods believe in. This overlord, as they refer to as.
So that says to me that there's no mortal limits. There's no physical limits. Like, that's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a Sith for you right there, you know.
Yeah.
They, even if they do have limits, the Sith think they don't.
Okay, that is true. So, if we're looking at it from a perspective here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so then the second line says that the Sithari will lead the Sith and destroy them. Well, that's kind of a confusing line. If you're going to lead somebody, why would you want to destroy them? Or how does that even work? But then
We were just talking about apprentices that always kill their masters. So, actually.
Yeah, that's true. But the Sithari will raise the Sith from death and then make them stronger than before. Which I think is pretty interesting, because it kind of reminds me of what Obi-Wan says to Vader. If you strike me down, I will become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
It also reminds me of how apparently nobody can die, even when they're cut in half and fall down, and then they get spider legs, and random things happen.
Well, the dark side of the Force is very powerful. You never know. That's especially true. When you get the assistance of the Night Sisters.
That would be why.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it, Rachel, for the dark side. I mean, they don't really have too many premonitions, prophecies. The prophecy of the Sithari is like the big one for them.
Okay.
And it was Darth Bane. A lot of people thought that this could be Darth Bane, you know, that he was the Sithari. But it's kind of really up in the air. No one's really confirmed, oh, yep, this is so-and-so is the Sithari. But a lot of people believe, like, especially in the Book of Sith, which is a book that I kind of read through to prepare for this podcast. You know, they have a whole segment on the prophecy of the Sithari. And a lot of people, especially, like, some of the people who have their annotations and stuff in the book like they do, you know, they think, oh, yeah, this is a Darth Bane and things like that. But right. Nothing's been confirmed, so nobody knows who this Sithari prophecy is referring to.
Well, you know who looks like somebody that is back from the dead is...
Mr. Snoke?
Snoke, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, so...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very excited to see what happens with Snoke and what his role is in the universe. So...
Yeah.
As always, Rachel and I do know a lot about Star Wars, but we do have to get help sometimes from the experts. So if you're following along with us, we did use some references for this podcast. The Book of Sith, Jedi vs. Sith, The Essential Guide to the Force, and the Star Wars Wikipedia. Rachel, that will bring us into our next segment, which is my personal favorite, Versus. Basically what this is, for everybody who doesn't know what this is that... Every month, Rachel and I pick a light side and dark side character, respectively. Rachel picks light, I pick dark, and we mash them up together, and we ask you guys, the listeners, who you think would win in a duel. And generally, we try to kind of pair our selection with our topic of choice for that particular month. So, Rachel, last month we talked about pursuing the balance, and this was all about the big battles that kind of shaped the Force and the ways of the Force, and, you know, was the Force in balance, which side, light side versus dark side, would win these battles, and how everything came about. And so we ended up having our selections be Darth Tyrannus versus Bastila Lashan from the Knights of the Old Republic, and this was a very close contest, Rachel. This is probably one of our closest, if not the closest, that we've had so far. It came down to a tiebreaker. We had to move away from Twitter. So we had Twitter votes, and we also had SurveyMonkey votes. And it came down to, like, one vote that decided this. It was 55% to 45%, Rachel. Darth Tyrannus barely defeated Bastila Lashan. Yes, in our most recent Versus segment. So, the dark side finally wins one after a couple weeks, I think, or a couple months of the light side coming back. So, gotta have balance, yeah. You know.
Dark that's side true,
has,
that's true.
Has to come back at some point, so.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Well, all right, so then if we're going to pick new people for our Versus segment, I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
But before I tell you who I'm going to pick, I want you to remember that there are different universes that this person can exist in. So I'm thinking of Expanded Universe Legends version. And this person is someone that not only fulfilled a lot of premonitions in some of these books and comics, but also came back in and helped influence Luke himself coming back to the light side, as well as many other strong Jedi. And this would be Leia.
Okay. Ooh. So, like, Jedi Leia,
that's yes. Right.
Okay.
She had such an influence on so many of her children and Luke, and every time they would go to the dark, bringing them back, and she was one that was always kind of that beacon or that pillar for them.
Mm-hmm.
And in herself ended up having premonitions and things which helped guide her throughout the stories, so.
And that's fitting. From everything that's happened recently in the real world with Carrie Fisher and all that. So, you know, to pick Leia at this point, I think is a good choice. And, you know, Leia is an interesting character because she, in the expanded universe, sort of is a character that kind of rejected her Force calling. You know, she was a senator,
yes.
And then she was like a military leader, kind of. And, you know, she kind of went off and did all that stuff. And then it wasn't until later on in her life that she sort of embraced the fact that, yes, she's being called to do her training, you know. So
correct.
I think that's pretty cool. I, Rachel, am going to choose a character that was sort of selected by Ventress and the Night Sisters to go along and be a pawn of the Night Sisters and Ventress to sort of take out Dooku in revenge, because Dooku obviously is betrayed Ventress, and so Ventress needs this person. This person actually teamed up with his dark side brother, the Zabrax, and it was actually Savage Opress who captured the Temple of Edith, took out a couple of Jedi there, and also killed a member of the Jedi Council, Adi Gallia. I am going to select Savage Opress for this month's show.
Although he is quite a monster, honestly, he can't beat Leia. Come on.
Hey. I don't know how much more legit you can get when you kill a Jedi with the horns on your head. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
All right, I guess it's up to the listeners to decide.
All right, so if you want to vote, what you can do is you can vote on my personal Twitter page, which is @_EricPfeiffer. I will have both selections up for you to vote. It'll be up for a week after this episode is posted. This episode was posted on January 5th. So you can, anytime from January 5th to January 12th, you can go and vote on the Twitter page for who you would like to see win this. Otherwise, you can go onto our Facebook page, which will have a link to our SurveyMonkey question, and you can vote on there. So we will have the answer for you on Ashla Analysis Episode 11, which is our January show, which will be our sort of later on. This is actually supposed to be our December show. So this our answer will be later on in the month, and you'll find out.
Awesome. Well, speaking of next month or months of shows that we've done, how about next time we talk about all the tests and trials that one could go through to become Jedi or Sith or those of the like, since how it's the new year.
Yeah, and there's a lot, Rachel, that goes into this. You know, I mean, we talked a little bit about this, but what exactly does a Jedi have to do? How exactly do you get to be a master? What do you have to do? What are the five trials of the Jedi? You know, how do you get the dark title? What actually makes up the rank that you are? You know, how does this all happen? So that'll be what we're talking about on next month's show.
Yeah, we'll give you some insight in case your New Year's resolution is to become a Jedi.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for listening to this month's episode of Ashla Analysis. This was the 10th episode. This is the podcast on the Twin Sons Podcast Network, where we teach you, the listeners, about the Force. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time on Ashla Analysis. May the Force be with you.
And with you.
Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
The Sith rely on their passion for their strength.
Jedi use their power for good.
Darth Vader, the ancient Sith Lord you are, created the rule of two, beauty. I chose to pass my knowledge on to Obi-Wan.
The Sith and the Jedi are similar in almost every way, including their quest for greater power.